Well, it's 2 March. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Midweek Prophecy Report. Not demonstrably justified. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. All right, I've talked a lot about coronavirus on the Midweek Reports as of late, because that's been the impetus behind almost everything that's been going on in the world. But at least until the elections, we are now at the end of the COVID pandemic. So here's a little bit on that, along with a lot of other non-COVID news that is going on in the world. And after this report today, COVID data is going to be overlooked unless it is truly necessary for you to know, if it's something that just jumps out at me. I'm not going to spend a lot more time on COVID. It's pretty much done. Breitbart, Google drops employee vaccine mandate. If that doesn't tell you that the COVID pandemic is almost over, I don't know what else could. If Google is giving up on the vaccine mandate, then it's pretty certain that we're done with this thing. From the Epoch Times, New Zealand High Court, vaccine mandate not demonstrably justified and a breach of rights. The order limits the right to be free to refuse medical treatment recognized by the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, including because of its limitation on people's right to remain employed, and it limits the right to manifest religious beliefs for those who decline to be vaccinated because the vaccine has been tested on cells derived from a human fetus, which is contrary to their religious beliefs, the judge said. It's a little bit late, isn't it? They wait until, what, a year and a half after this has all come out to make this decision? How many people were harmed in New Zealand by getting this stupid vaccine that has destroyed their bodies or even killed them? But at least the decision is made now, so in a future pandemic, they're going to have to find something else to scare the people into getting these vaccines because they have a right to religious objection now. From True North, Ontario judge rules with mother who doesn't want COVID shots for her kids. Finally, we get something out of Canada. As I said, it's a little late in the game for these things, but at least they are making these decisions. In a sharply worded ruling about the pandemic's effect on society, an Ontario judge has shut down a father's attempt to force his ex-wife to get their 2 children unwillingly vaccinated against COVID-19. Ontario's Superior Court Justice Alex Parzeratz sided with the mother of 2 children, ordering that she be made the sole decision maker over whether the children get the shots. In his February 22 ruling, Parzeratz lamented the polarization the pandemic has caused in society and how it has divided people even in close relationships. The judge also criticized the father's tactic of trying to smear the mother's character over her political views, including his pointing out her membership in the PPC, rather than focus on the issues of the lawsuit. When did it become illegal to ask questions, especially in the courtroom, wrote Parzeratz? And is misinformation even a real word? Or has it become a crass, self-serving tool to preempt scrutiny and discredit your opponent, to delegitimize questions and strategically avoid giving answers? Each party always has the onus to prove their case, and yet misinformation has crept into the court lexicon. A childish but sinister way of saying, you're so wrong, I don't even have to explain why you're wrong. That sounds exactly like what the liberal media does all the time. This judge clued into what's going on, and he's not going to take it anymore. From the Epoch Times, California, Oregon, and Washington to end mask mandates in schools. Once again, the pandemic is over. Epoch Times, reinfections with subvariant of Omicron are rare, Danish researchers find. Now, I'll tell you something. They're rare, but they won't be rare among the vaccinated. Mark my words as this goes on, and we're going to see some things about the vaccinated in a minute, and then we'll be done with the COVID stuff. But my guess is that the vaccinated will continue to get this. But people who contract cases of COVID-19 caused by the Omicron virus variant are unlikely to get reinfected by a subvariant of the variant, researchers in Denmark found. As I said, I'll bet you that'll be different for the vaccinated, but we'll have to wait and see. From the Epoch Times, Ben Carson at CPAC. saying no to COVID-19 vaccines for kids makes you a very good parent. From the Epoch Times, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine less effective in children 5 to 11, says a study. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was not effective in preventing infection among children aged 5 to 11, according to this new study. My question is, how is it possible to be less effective than completely ineffective? Because these vaccines have been completely ineffective in stopping it in the vaccinated. And in fact, as we're going to see again today, they have actually boosted people's ability to get coronavirus when they are vaccinated. From the expose, 33% of New Zealand's COVID-19 hospitalizations in the last 6 months have occurred in the past 12 days, and the fully vaccinated account for 4 in every 5 of them. According to official data published by New Zealand's Ministry of Health, a total of 955 people have been admitted to hospital with COVID-19 between 16th of August 21 and 22nd February 2022. But analysis shows that 306 of those hospitalizations have occurred since the 11th of February 22, a period of 12 days, and the fully vaccinated account for 82% of them. The New Zealand Ministry of Health have been publishing a daily COVID-19 case demographics report since August 2021. And in it, they confirm the number of COVID-19 cases by vaccination status and the number of COVID-19 hospitalizations by vaccination status. But just like Public Health Scotland originally did before we exposed them, and just like the government of Canada are now doing, the New Zealand Ministry of Health only provide a cumulative total from the 16th August 21 that they update daily. This is extremely deceiving because data shows that the country is currently experiencing its largest wave of COVID-19 to date since the pandemic allegedly began in March 2020. On the 25th of January 2022, New Zealand recorded a total of 58 COVID-19 cases and the 7-day average equated to 71. But by the 22nd of February 2022, New Zealand recorded 3,183 cases and a 7-day average of 2,262. This represents a 5,388% increase in cases recorded in a single day, and a 3,086% increase in the number of cases recorded over a 7-day average. So now that the pandemic is clearly just beginning in New Zealand, after 2 years, it would be very helpful to know the vaccination status of those being infected with COVID-19 and being hospitalized with COVID-19. And then the article goes on from there and gives all of the statistics, all of the data, all of the charts right from their website to demonstrate what they made the claim in the first paragraph. Go read it. Epoch Times, COVID-19 cases, hospitalizations jump among vaccinated, CDC data. COVID-19 case and hospitalization rates increased among people who got a COVID-19 vaccine following the emergence of the Omicron virus variant, according to newly published data from the CDC. According to the data, which is submitted to the CDC by health departments across the country, the COVID-19 case rate in fully vaccinated people rose by more than 1,000% between December 11, 2021 and January 8th of 2022. The CDC doesn't count a person as fully vaccinated until 14 days have elapsed from his or her final shot, meaning that a lot of other people that should be counted were not counted. The case rate among those who also received a booster dose skyrocketed as well, rising some 2,400% between the same dates. While cases also rose among the unvaccinated, the jump in infections among the vaccinated closed the gap between the populations. As a result, people who haven't received a vaccine were just 3.2 times more likely to test positive for COVID-19 in January. COVID-19-associated hospitalizations also increased among the vaccinated, from 1.4 per 100,000 for the fully vaccinated for the week ending December 18th, 2021, to 35.2 per 100,000 in the week ending January 8th, according to data from a surveillance system managed by the CDC. People who got a booster were less likely to require hospital care, but the hospitalization rate among the boosted also rose from December 2021 to January of 2022, and deaths attributed to COVID-19 increased during the same time period among the vaccinated, including among the boosted. Other data sources also point to vaccines performing worse after Omicron, including studies published by the CDC in January, which has narrowed the gap between the unvaccinated and the vaccinated in terms of cases and hospitalizations. Zero Hedge. CDC withholds COVID data so it won't be misinterpreted. At the beginning of February, the CDC released info which showed vaccine booster shots were relatively effective for adults aged 50 to 65. But the agency rather conspicuously declined to release data about the effectiveness of booster shots on adults aged 18 to 49. At least one New York Times journalist was curious enough to wonder why the CDC left out the numbers for a huge portion of that population. 18 to 49-year-olds, the group the data showed was at least likely to benefit from extra shots. So the journalist asked the CDC why it would withhold information which could help the public make more scientific decisions about vaccine boosters. The spokeswoman for the CDC confirmed that one reason was because the CDC did not want the data to be misinterpreted as showing that vaccines are ineffective. Or perhaps they were truly afraid that people would correctly interpret exactly what the New York Times say, that 18 to 49-year-olds are at least likely to benefit from booster shots. It's not just the CDC deliberately hiding data either. Similarly, Public Health Scotland said it would stop publishing data about the vaccination status of COVID patients, especially deaths and hospitalizations, something we reported on a week or two ago. Obviously, a complete lack of data is a great way to advance science. Keep everyone in the dark and tell them only what you want them to know. If Trump wins or if DeSantis wins in a couple of years, one of the very first things that I would do if I were them would be to take away all federal funding from the CDC. Get rid of them. No more CDC as far as running things for the status of American health ever again. They are poison. They have an agenda. They're all lefties. Defund them. From the expose. Stroke is 11,361% more likely to be suffered as an adverse reaction to the COVID-19 vaccines than flu vaccines per number of doses administered. A quick search of the CDC VAERS database on the number of strokes reported as adverse reactions to the COVID-19 injections since they were first rolled out in the United States of America reveals that between December 2020 and the 11th of February 2022, a total of 4,532 adverse event reports involving a stroke were made in just 1 year and 2 months. But performing a similar search of the VAERS database on the number of strokes suffered as an adverse reaction to the flu vaccines reveals that between 2008 and 2020, there were a total of just 122 adverse event reports involving stroke were made in a period of 13 years. In all, between the 08-09 flu season and the 19-20 flu season, there were a total of 1,720,000,000 doses of the flu jab administered in the United States of America. The raw numbers alone show that in the space of 14 months, there were 37 times as many adverse event reports made against the COVID-19 vaccines that resulted in a stroke than were made against the flu vaccines in 13 years. But when we actually work out the rate of stroke suffered per number of doses administered, we find that the COVID-19 vaccines have proven to be even more harmful than they first appear. Between 2008 and 2020, the rate of adverse event reports to the flu vaccine resulting in a stroke equates to one stroke per 14,101,639 doses administered. But The rate of adverse event reports to the COVID-19 vaccines resulting in strokes equates to one stroke per 121,340 doses administered. This means the COVID-19 injections are 115 times, or 11,361%, more likely to cause the recipient to suffer a stroke than flu vaccines. Mail Online. Sweden's no lockdown policy was right, and countries that enforced them had significantly worse outcomes, report by its government finds. Sweden has completed a report into the nation's handling of COVID-19. The report praises the decision to avoid a full lockdown like other countries. From Free West Media, number one ranked French tennis star incapacitated by booster shot. Monfils is ranked as the 25th best men's player in the world, winning his first title in 2 years in Adelaide, and then reaching the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. In late January, he suffered a shock defeat at the hands of Mikhail Ymer, who is ranked 83rd. Monfils wrote on Tuesday, "Hello, everyone. I wanted to give you some news following my recent rest in tournaments. I suffered a small health problem, probably following my third dose of the vaccine. On the advice of my doctor, I decided to take time to rest. Unfortunately, I won't be able to play the Davis Cup next week. I hope to be able to return to the United States." Another person ruined by the COVID vaccines. Okay, we're all done with COVID. You'll only hear about that in the future if there's important stuff like we had today. Zero Hedge. How Eisenhower predicted Fauci. Yes, that's about COVID, but it's more than that. It shows how Eisenhower predicted all of the deep state, everything that is going on. If you want to read the article, it's very good. It's way too long to read. Zero Hedge, How Eisenhower Predicted Fauci. Great article. From JTN, Justice Department ends controversial Trump-era China initiative. The DOJ is replacing the controversial China initiative with what it says will be a more comprehensive strategy to counter threats. The 2018 China initiative is being replaced in part due to concerns over anti-Asian bias and hate crimes. You want to see anti-Asian bias and hate crimes? All you need to do is go to any liberal school or any liberal city. They are targeting Asians in the school, saying that we have too many of you and we have too few blacks, and so we're taking you out. A case was just resolved on that, I believe it was yesterday morning, where they said that you can't do this. This is illegal, but they're doing it in all of the schools, so they'll have to do it in every single school. Go to any Democrat city and the people are being beaten to death. They're being beaten with hammers. They're being punched in the head on the subway, whatever, by Democrats. Okay, you talk about anti-Asian, it's the Democrat Party of the United States of America, but we'll continue with the article. The 2018 China initiative is being replaced in part due to concerns over anti-Asian bias and hate crimes, said Matthew Olson, who's an assistant attorney general. The China initiative was created by the Trump admin in 2018 with a focus on countering national security threats from China. An archived DOJ webpage promotes more than 50 examples of China-related charges made through the program, including espionage, conspiracy, and grant fraud. Oh, but that doesn't matter. So we're going to do away with the program, even though it was perfectly effective and it targeted a nation that hates us. Breitbart. Alabama solar factory to close after Biden guts U.S. tariffs on China. A Huntsville, Alabama solar panel factory will close after Biden exempted a foreign-made bifacial solar panels from U.S. tariffs earlier this month. LG Electronics, a South Korea-based company, announced that it will be closing its Huntsville solar panel manufacturing operation, resulting in the layoffs of about 160 American employees and another 60 Americans who are employed as contract workers. The announcement comes just weeks after Biden decided to exempt foreign-made bifacial solar panels, the overwhelming majority of which come from China. From Section 201 tariffs on solar imports to the U.S. that were first imposed by President Trump in January 2018 at a 30% rate. The Coalition for a Prosperous America, CPA, had warned that Biden's gutting U.S. tariffs on China-made bifacial solar panels would have a devastating impact on America's solar manufacturing sector. Biden's Commerce Department sided, of course, with the Chinese solar manufacturers who produce their products in Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam by denying a request from American solar manufacturers to investigate U.S. tariff evasion. Biden had been lobbied by 12 Senate Democrats who sent a letter asking the admin not to impose any tariffs on the products made in Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam by the Chinese solar manufacturers. From 2001 to 2018, U.S. free trade with China has cost Alabama at least 50,700 jobs, or about 2.5% of the state's employment. A previous study found that permanent 25% tariffs on Chinese-made products imported to the U.S. market would create 1 million American jobs in 5 years. But we have traitors in the White House and in the DOJ and in the federal government in general. You've got the military. You've got the CIA. They've all sold out to the Chinese. They're all traitors, every one of them, and they are destroying the infrastructure of the United States of America. That's what's going on. Breitbart, NPR, lifting sanctions against Iran's oil flow could lower energy prices for Americans. Do you think that the Biden administration cares about lowering oil prices for Americans? Because if they did, that's not a way of doing it. That's only a way of giving Iran more money so that they can build more bombs. That's the only thing that's doing. Next article, JTN. U.S. imports of Russian oil reached the highest in a decade as domestic energy production decreases. This is during a war with the Ukraine. Our production is going down. Russia is selling to us continuously, even with this war going on. Now, how can that be helping the environment? Israel Hayom. Turkey poised to limit Russian access to the Black Sea. Okay, this is a problem for the people that are saying that this is a Gog-Magog war that's going on right now. Okay, I don't deny that it is setting up the scenario for Gog-Magog, but this has nothing to do with it right now. NATO member shifts rhetoric, now calling Russian invasion of Ukraine a war and pledging to implement parts of international pact that could restrict movement of Russian warships. And then from Reuters again, Russian warships curb tilts Turkey to west, risks Russia's ire. Okay, so right now we've got Turkey working with the West rather than with Russia. Guess who is a member of the coalition who is supposed to come against Israel in Gog-Magog? Turkey. And we have nothing of Libya in play at this time. So what's happening in Russia, in the Ukraine right now, may be setting up the future events of history. And we know it is because everything is marching towards a final end. But right now, what you are seeing in Russia, in the Ukraine, is not the beginning of Gog-Magog. Okay? Until Turkey is on their side, and until Libya is in play with Russia, it's not going to happen. That's what we need to keep our mind on, is what's happening with Turkey, what's happening especially with Libya. Until they're a player, this is not going to happen. So don't worry about the North coming down and attacking Israel in the next 2 weeks or something. That is not going to happen, okay? But this is setting up the alliances of the end times. We're going to see that with some articles on Germany in just a second. So be apprised of what's going on in the world. Be assured that Gog-Magog is going to happen and they're going to get their tail end kicked, and that will then set up the end times alliance in the European arena, which will be where the Antichrist comes from. All of these things have to happen, but it is not going to happen yet because Turkey is not yet with Russia on coming down against them, and also Libya is not in play. Remember those things and know that the end times is coming to a head, but we're just not there yet. We're going to see these articles on Germany, and it'll start to make more sense. Okay, from Mail Online, Ukraine's UN ambassador reads text from a Russian soldier to his mother moments before he was killed. "Mama, I'm in the Ukraine. There is a real war raging here. I'm afraid. We are bombing all of the cities, even targeting civilians." They sent their troops in and they told them, "Oh, you're just going to be doing peacekeeping or something," when in fact they started having a real war and the soldiers weren't even aware of it. This kid lost his life watching what was going on. The Russians actually killing civilians. Okay, from Breitbart. Buttigieg on drilling to lower gas prices. This is his take on drilling in the U.S. to lower gas prices. We're engaging in a diplomacy to increase global production. We're in a transformation away from oil. He's an absolute liar. Remember what I read you a minute ago? They want to increase oil out of Iran, and they're increasing our purchasing of oil from Russia. This has nothing to do with the green agenda. This has everything to do with destroying the infrastructure of the United States of America. That's what's going on. Zero Hedge. Biden admin freezes new oil and gas drilling leases despite recent court-ordered injunction. They're killing our oil industry purposefully so that the Iranians can get strong and powerful, so the Chinese can buy cheaper oil from that side of the world without us profiting off of them, etc. They just want to destroy the United States of America because they hate the freedoms that we have. The people in the White House, the people in the Department of Justice, the people in the Energy Department are traitors. Here we go. As oil prices continue to rocket, now further helped along by Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, the Biden admin is still fighting tooth and nail to freeze new oil and gas drilling leases, even after a court ruled against the admin for using a metric to estimate the societal cost of carbon emissions to justify their move. Despite the court's ruling, Biden's admin has stopped new leases and permits for federal oil and gas drilling. The admin was previously prevented from using the social cost of carbon metric in decisions regarding oil and gas, thanks to an injunction issued by U.S. District Judge James Kane of the Western District of Louisiana. But government lawyers quickly appealed the injunction, arguing that it necessitated a pause on all projects where the government was using a social cost of carbon analysis in its decision making. This, in turn, allowed the Biden admin to freeze oil and gas projects. They're defying the courts, they're doing these things anyway, and they are destroying the United States of America in the process so that they can get rich off of their communist allies over in China. Zero Hedge. And Russia, oil from Russia, Zero Hedge. World Bank, there will be alternatives to Russian gas in 5 years. While the European Union and the United States are trying to avoid hitting Europe's energy supply and raising American gasoline prices even higher with sanctions, Germany, for example, made a major U-turn in its energy policy on Sunday. Germany will support the construction of two LNG import terminals and is not leaving any energy source, not even coal or nuclear, off the tables, as it will now look to cut energy dependence on one supplier, meaning Russia. What does that mean, LNG, liquid natural gas? Israel. Israel. You wonder what's going to happen with Gog Magog? Israel has to have a reason to be attacked first. We're not there yet, but Germany is setting it up right now. Right now it's being set up. I've been saying this for years and years and years. People have been saying, oh, Gog Magog's going to happen tomorrow and Damascus is going to be blown up in 15 minutes. And it hasn't happened because the scenario is not yet ready. Until Israel has a reason to be attacked, they're not going to be attacked. And until Turkey and Libya are players with Russia, it's not going to happen. Remember these things and don't get worried about these people that are just saying things to get a lot of hits on YouTube. It is not going to happen. Now, I was perfectly surprised that Russia actually went into the Ukraine. I admit that. I didn't think it was going to happen. And guess what? I don't think that the people that were planning on making Harris look good thought that it was going to happen either. And they got caught with their pants down. And so they're doing all these things now to try to make up for the stupidity that they demonstrated towards Russia. This is the way that Russia works, and this is what's going on. But Gog Magog is not even close at this point because we don't have the scenario in play. But that article shows that they are going to start looking for other places to get LNG. And guess what? Israel's sitting down there with a couple of giant wells ready to send it up to Europe. Breitbart. Analysis. Push for green energy, not Russia's invasion of Ukraine, is driving up prices, threatening security. The website oilprice.com posted an analysis about how the push for green energy, years before Russia invaded Ukraine and on steroids since Biden stole the presidency, is to blame for soaring oil prices and foreign policy weakness. The analysis begins with a story about a team from MetalMinder, the largest metals-related media site in the United States, on a trip to Germany in 2018, where they discovered people's health suffered from coal pollution because after the Japanese Fukushima nuclear disaster, it began shutting down its nuclear energy operations. In hindsight, that decision by Germany appears both foolish and ironic, the team concluded. Foolish because Germany has lost its negotiating power, pun intended, with Russia, for which it relies. It's ironic because the country already had clean energy, but now must turn back to dirty energy to avoid blackouts. And then from Forbes, Germany's Pearl Harbor moment, the war's weightiest consequence. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz on Sunday, February 27th, opened his extraordinary speech to the German Bundestag with this sentence. The 24th of February, 2022 marked a change in the history of our continent. Here are the major initiatives that Scholz laid out. He declared an end to Germany's self-imposed ban on shipping arms to conflict zones. This ban had been in force for decades and would have seemed immutable before February 24th. In January, almost perversely, Germany had even blocked Estonia from providing some of its own weapons to the Ukraine because the weapons were of German origin. Germany has not supported the export of lethal weapons, as Olaf Scholz himself had explained. That was then. Now, to concretize his message, Scholz promised to ship 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 Stinger anti-aircraft missiles to the Ukraine ASAP. He suspended the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline project from Russia, a step that Americans had sought for years unsuccessfully to persuade the German government to accept. He pledged to immediately and permanently boost German defense spending above the 2% of GDP threshold, a long-ignored NATO goal. He announced the creation of an immediate special reserve of 100 billion euros for strengthening the German armed forces. He described a broad weapons acquisition program to deploy new drones, jets, and carriers. He pledged to create a strategic national gas reserve, enter Israel, analogous to the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and to build two new LNG terminals in Germany as a part of a thorough revision of the country's energy policy, and specifically the elimination of energy dependency on Russia, with, of course, major economic implications. He supported measures taken with other Western powers to paralyze Russia's central bank by halting its ability to use its foreign reserves, which could effectively freeze a large part of Russia's reserves abroad. Not least, he called for imposition of the mother of all sanctions, the financial nuclear weapon, cutting Russia off from the SWIFT network. What does that mean? Russia's off from SWIFT. What are they going to do? They're going to develop that one that China and them have been working on for years and years, and they're just going to have their own network, okay? The writing is all over this. The end times are coming. You've got Russia, which will eventually go down to Israel, looking for spoil, looking for plunder, probably gas, maybe something else. But the EU is where all of the Revelation commentary comes from. It's the end times arena because Russia is going to be destroyed in Gog Magog. And so they're not going to be a player in this. What's going to be the big player? This area right here that is now going to be arming. They're going to get their own army. They're going to get their own thing going. The U.S. may or may not be a part of it, but they certainly will be. They will certainly do that, and they will be the end times Antichrist coming down against Israel. Okay, and when I say Antichrist, I'm not talking about a German per se. Actually, it says that it would be a Roman, all right? So somehow they're going to get this alliance, and they're going to have this develop in the years ahead. And it's coming soon to a world near you because of what's happening with Russia and Ukraine right now. Read the Bible and understand what is going on. But what is going on with Russia and Ukraine right now, don't let that worry you that it's going to suddenly turn into Gog Magog. I highly doubt that is the case. Once again, because of Turkey and because of Libya. Zero Hedge. EV charging prices, that's an electronic vehicle. EV charging prices in Munich expected to rise as much as 81%. So much for that good idea. Gateway Pundit. NASA pledges to put woman and person of color on the moon in 2025. White men may not apply. NASA is planning on sending Americans to the moon again in 2025, but they are only looking for women and people of color for the mission. White men need not apply because color and gender is now more important than knowledge, merit, and expertise. In fact, the only people to ever land on the moon have been white men. However, NASA made a pledge in April 2021 that it would put a woman and a person of color on the moon, a promise in line with Biden's aims of advancing equality. Doing so would be a dream come true, Meyer said at a media event in the lead-up to the Israel Space Agency's Israel Space Week, where she is a guest. Meyer is one of several candidates for that historic spot on the Artemis III mission, currently slated to be launched in 2025. It follows the Artemis I mission, an unmanned launch currently slated for March 2022, and the Artemis II mission, which will see a crew of astronauts orbit the moon but not land. My thought is, how degrading. Being picked for a reason other than your competence. Okay, we've got 12% of blacks in the United States of America. 12%. Okay? If you look at the advertising on TV right now, they make up probably 85%. That means it's a geometrically large difference in what is going on in the advertisement of the United States of America. This is not something we're making things equal. This is taking people's rights away, and they're doing it through dividing the culture by race. Okay? If you want to see how many black astronauts there are, go type it into Google and look. Black astronauts, and they'll tell you all of them that have been there, and they make up probably 12% of all of the astronauts, maybe a little smaller percent, but they make up a good portion of them. Things were going along just fine until the Democrats got in power and have tried to divide this nation along racial lines. It's a catastrophe what is going on in this nation right now. They say that the white guys and the Republicans are all a bunch of racists. It is them. It is them that are pushing a racist agenda against the people of the United States and against the people of the world. From Breitbart, you talk about another lunatic like what we got up in the White House. Listen to this. British spy boss. This is the British spy boss. He's in charge, like the guy in charge of the CIA. British spy boss. LGBT plus rights are what distinguish us from Putin. LGBT plus rights are the most important values and hard-won freedoms distinguishing us from Putin. Richard Moore, chief of MI6, the UK's secret intelligence service, wrote on Friday. Moore did not specify if his use of us was a reference to the UK, the Anglosphere, or the broader West. He expressed his sentiments via Twitter, relating his remarks to ongoing conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. He included an acronym from LGBT plus History Month, with LGBT plus, he wrote, with the tragedy and destruction unfolding so distressingly in Ukraine, we should remember the values and hard-won freedoms that distinguish us from Putin, none more than LGBT plus rights. So let's resume our series of tweets to mark LGBTHM2022. Moore's Twitter profile includes he, him, a reference to preferred pronouns in accordance with transgender ideology's framing of sex as an arbitrary social construct. Under Moore's directorship, the MI6 recently warned the UK's intelligence personnel of white privilege, hierarchy, and gender biases as part of an effort to develop a diverse and inclusive culture across the spy agency. This guy is insane. He's a communist, and they are destroying their infrastructure over there, just like they are here, so that the commies can take over. The very people they say they're working against are the people that they are working for. Weeks ago, the Times reported that MI6 recently began hiring foreigners as a part of its diversity agenda. Last year, the intelligence agency chief promised to use MI6's resources to spy on other countries to verify their compliance with climate change pledges. That's what they're worried about, is climate change pledges, which he dubbed green spying, to address what he called a climate emergency. The guy's a lunatic. The climate emergency, Moore claimed, is the foremost international foreign policy agenda item for this country and for the planet. He is an absolute lunatic. And to hire foreigners into the spy agency of your country? What is the guy thinking? From Zero Hedge, Gundlach is moving DoubleLine's $134 billion money management arm to Florida from California. Jeff Gundlach is the latest in a long line of asset managers that are moving operations to Florida. Taxes and quality of life in California have been gripes of the fund managers for a while. Florida has served as a popular destination for many asset managers looking to leave major U.S. cities, mostly in New York, to escape taxes and a lack of law and order. Florida famously has no state income tax. The company's employees have mostly been working remotely since COVID and have flexibility with regard to use of office space, the report says. Jeffrey Weinstein, an attorney at the law firm Cole Schatz, talked about how easy it is to move a primary resident to Florida to reap the same tax benefits. Well, that's great. We're going to get some money here in Florida. We're going to expand our economy a little bit, but they're all going to vote Democrat. They're going to do the same thing all over again here that they've done in California. Ruin the state. Zero Hedge. LA is spending up to $837,000 per unit to house the homeless. You wonder why these people are leaving California? This is a good reason why. $837,000 will get you a mansion in Sarasota, Florida. And yet they're spending that much to house one homeless person. Are you wondering why so many people are defecting from places like California in favor of tax havens in Florida? Look no further for your answer, which likely lies in how states are spending their tax money. Take LA, for example. It was reported last week that the city is paying up to $837,000 per housing unit to try and house the homeless. It comes as a part of a broader $1.2 billion effort to house the homeless. So far, about 1,200 units have been built since the spending was approved in 2016. An audit issued by City Comptroller Ron Galperin, however, calls this number wholly inadequate in the context of the homeless crisis, KTLA reported. But Democrat Mayor Garcetti has defended the program, stating that it is producing more units than promised at a lower cost than expected. He commented that there are already 1,200 units online providing critical housing and services, and HHH will deliver over 10,300 units of supportive and affordable housing by 2026. As if the $800,000 price tag wasn't enough, one observer pointed out how the price has mysteriously risen over the last couple years. So Garcetti is a liar. They're just frittering away money and they're getting kickbacks in the process. That is what's going on. From the Epoch Times, here it is, last article, proof that the plandemic is over. House mask mandate to be lifted ahead of the State of Union address. Well, that confirms it. The plandemic is over. If the House has removed its mask mandate, it's all over. Now, before we close, I'd like to tell you something about the sermons that are coming up in the next 6 weeks. It's from the Book of Deuteronomy. We're almost done with the Book of Deuteronomy. After 10 years of being in the five books of Moses, we're very close to ending them. And we're coming up on the Song of Moses this week. It's a beautiful song. But what it tells us is of God's faithfulness. Because it starts out with a praise of the Lord and it starts talking about Israel. And then it shows how Israel has been disobedient. And it shows all of the history that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. Everything that's going to happen, it's all described there in advance. So that when it happens, Israel can't say, oh, We didn't know, or, oh, this is unfair. The law was given to them, they accepted it, and they have lived under it unfaithfully for millennia. And the Lord has punished them for their unfaithfulness. Okay? But there's a truth that you will find in the Song of Moses, and you'll find it all the way through the rest of Scripture. Despite their unfaithfulness, God remains faithful to his covenant. He has covenanted with them, and until they come out of that covenant and enter the new covenant, he will preserve them as a people. That is a promise of his, and he has kept it despite their unfaithfulness. Now, enter the new covenant. Jesus Christ comes, he sheds his blood, and he establishes the new covenant. For anybody who comes into the new covenant, the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is obsolete, it is annulled, it is set aside. It is done. Paul says it's nailed to the cross. There's no more adhering to the laws of the old covenant in the new covenant. As a matter of fact, we're not even imputed sin anymore. And by law is how we are imputed sin. So we're not under law anymore. We're under grace. But there's a truth that we need to understand concerning the new covenant. Just as God was faithful to keep his covenant with Israel, he is covenanted with each individual who comes to him in Christ. That is called eternal security. If you're in a church that teaches you can lose your salvation, you're in a church that has no idea about the covenant faithfulness of God. When God speaks, it is an eternal decree. He will never renege on his deal with a person. You cannot lose your salvation, but you must first be saved in order to have that eternal security. And so I would ask you today to simply humble yourself, believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, meaning you're a sinner, that Christ was buried, meaning he was really dead, and that Christ rose again, meaning that he is God and that he had no sin of his own, and you will be saved if you believe that simple gospel message and understand the faithfulness of God to Israel in order to understand the faithfulness of God to you. If the Lord God was ever to violate his part of the covenant that he made with Israel, you could take your salvation and chuck it out the door. He would be unfaithful to you as well, but he will not be, because he is faithful to Israel, which is a type or a template of your salvation. He will be faithful to you. Call on Jesus today and be reconciled to God through his shed blood. This is what I would ask you to do. And so such is the world in which we live. From Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG Prophecy Report.